Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everything you remember must mean something. So what does that thought mean?
Adrift with Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
Hello.
Hello.
You look surprised then.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I wasn't quite ready. I was still chewing a bit of my food.
What have you got over
I've
there?
I've just got a naked bar.
Well, I don't expect you to share it with me.
No. Oh, do you want some?
No, absolutely not. Oh, okay. It looks revolting.
Okay. Yeah.
Before you arrived, I made myself a glass of iced coffee, which is a thing I like to do. I think anybody who knows anything about coffee would be disgusted at the way I make it. I don't think I do it the proper way.
Okay.
So I just put some ice cubes in a glass and then fill it with espresso.
What other way is it?
I don't know, but when you go into a coffee shop, it seems to be a very involved process.
A bit more faffing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I make this drink in the glass, and then I think, I want to drink it through a straw. So I open up the drawer, and I've got like a huge bag of plastic straws I bought about a year ago. I'm slowly working my way through, and I heard the noise you make then.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
Well, this is it.
Like just the devil.
Well, single use plastic is frowned upon, isn't it? And straws. Yeah. There's a big campaign to get rid of drinking straws.
Yeah,
plastic drinking straws, which is a problem for me because I've got a weird thing that I don't like the feel of paper touching my lips or wood or anything like that. So I'm really trying to ration out these straws. What, you just gave me a look then?
I'm just thinking you couldn't, for example, as an adult, live without a straw.
Well, this is what I was thinking. I was thinking, like, do you think it is just childish drinking through a straw?
I can't remember the last time I used one.
Like, why?
Not necessary.
No. Like, why are we drinking through straws, really?
I think if you had your wisdom teeth out or something and you need to, like, I don't know, have your food through a straw, it's fine. But I'm not sure as an adult you need to have your drink through a straw.
This is what I was thinking to myself. I was thinking, is this just a childish thing that I'm doing?
Yeah. Like,
because then the other thing that I do, these straws are all different colours.
Oh, shit.
And I think about what colour I'd like to drink through and just, like, grab one. I think I'm going to have a green one today.
I tell you what I'm going to get you. I'm going to get one of those curly whirly straws you can use time and time again. You'd love
that.
Oh,
my God. That would be amazing.
It would.
Thank you. Yeah. Another thing that happened to me, this is how little goes on in my life, when I just said another thing that happened to me, having just described choosing a straw. That big deal thing that happened to me. But another slightly bigger thing that happened to me the other day is I went out to meet some friends, which is a rarity in itself.
Nice.
Had an evening out with my friend Chris and his wife Jo on Saturday night. And I had to get back for the babysitter, and I was slightly worried that I wouldn't be able to get back in time. So I took a taxi off a taxi rank. So I get in this taxi and I tell him where I'm going, and the taxi driver says, "So do you follow the football, mate?" And I say, no, I don't really follow it. I don't enjoy football, so no, I don't know anything about it. He then proceeded to talk about the football for half an hour.
Oh.
It was a half-hour journey. And the whole time, like, there wasn't another topic conversation. And I didn't give much back. I mean, I wasn't rude, but, I mean, he would often say, "Do you know what I mean?" I go, yeah. And he just kept talking about it. I thought, what kind of person does that? Imagine if I met somebody and said, "So, do you like the Beatles then?" They went, "No, not really. Never did much for me." And then I proceeded to say, "Well, there was this thing in like 1967. It's a very interesting year to me." And describe everything that happened to the Beatles in 1960. Like, what goes on in people's heads?
He just really desperately wanted to talk about it. He couldn't care less that you didn't want to.
But he was talking about the World Cup, which was weeks ago.
Still going on about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bit like me in Love Island now it's finished. Whenever I meet someone, I don't care they don't want to talk about it. I'm there.
Excuse me. Do you have any wood?
Jeff Lloyd, Annabelle Port, Adrift.
Ooh, I'm in the stream.
Please share your story with us. You can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Which distinguished Governor Martha has. The discussions in a previous episode about someone's anxiety in a going around the circle group sharing activity and your NCT experiences, Jeff, reminded me of something excruciating that I encounter on a semi-regular basis that most of your listeners may not know is a thing. As a Christian and a member of a lovely church, I often find myself in small group settings where we chat, talk about the Bible and other stereotypical churchy stuff. It's considered good form to end this kind of group with a time of sharing things going on in our lives, followed by someone saying the dreaded words, "Shall we pray?" As these groups are usually pretty informal affairs, this type of prayer can take many different forms. There are no rules, and it's pretty dependent on the person running it that day to decide how this will take place. The praying can take a few forms. There is the "let's all just pray in our heads" method. Hands down, my utter favourite. It involves sitting in respectful silence while we have our own personal chat with our creator. See also the variation, "we've run out of time, so why don't we commit to praying about all of these things on our own when we get home?" Again, best possible result. Or you might have someone saying, "let's all take a person in turn and anyone who feels moved can pray aloud for them." Not too bad, as the more keen and confident will always fill the space on your behalf, although the unstructured nature does mean a lot of long silences until the leader has decided we are all prayed out. This can be tackled with some subtle stretching and a deep breath in through the nose, surprisingly effective. Finally, there is the one I dread, which is, "let's all just pray aloud for one person each until everyone has been prayed for." This is the absolute worst scenario. Don't get me wrong, I'm totally in favour of the listening, the supporting and the praying. But as soon as those words are spoken, something happens to me and my mind goes blank, rendering me unable to process normal conscious thought, let alone remember what everyone else has been listening to and nodding along what that actually said. As I'm sitting there panicking, I can usually start to vaguely remember something that someone has shared, only to have a keen and eloquent friend jump in first and nab the opportunity. I'm then left floundering, trying my best to remember if it's Stacey who has the kid with the hospital appointment next week, or if I'm getting her mixed up with Emma who's a job interview. Did Dave mention that he's not been sleeping, or was it eating? What is Stacey's kid even called anyway? I procrastinate for so long, not wanting to get it wrong, that I'm invariably the last one who has yet to praying, trying desperately to do the equation to work out who is left. This poor person who has been brave enough to share a vulnerability with this group of people is left with my bumbling, nervous prayer, where I will forget key facts and then try and make a joke, which, even if funny, wouldn't get a laugh because none of us can work out if this is appropriate or not. I can't even entertain you with a funny story of a specific time where I failed at this because they are all so awkward I instantly want to wipe them from my mind. I console myself with the fact that it's not about me and that if God is all-knowing, then he already knows what I should have done anyway. It doesn't help shake the feeling that I've somehow let people down a little, however. Does that sound excruciating?
Oh, it's so funny. Also, I guess if you go last, then basically you get the dregs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somebody like me who is asking God about which straw he should use and whether he should be using plastic.
Exactly.
Oh, God, that's so great.
Oh, dude. Okay, and this is from Dan. I was worried about Jeff's comment that the post was running low, so I thought I would share a moment of cripplingly awkwardness that I suffered a couple of years ago whilst on holiday with my family in Le Touquet. Did I say that right?
That was pretty good. Okay. Le Touquet.
Okay.
Le Touquet.
I know this sounds improbable, which I feel takes some of my culpability away. This instance still makes me cringe when I think about it at random moments, but I pass a test of not being a bad person that you set on a recent podcast because I still feel awful about it, even though technically it wasn't my fault. I was with my wife and two young children on the seafront, and we were discussing what we were going to do and which direction we were going to go in. As you and Jeff know, getting young children to do what you want when out and about can be like mobilising an army. When we finally decided what we were going to do, mini golf, I decided to lead the march. When I'm with my family, I tend to be in a bit of a bubble and don't overly worry about what people think of me as long as it amuses them. I know this is at odds with many drifters, but what happened next was a lesson that staying in your shell and not engaging is often less painful. I confidently started to march off in an exaggerated manner with the family behind me. And for reasons that I cannot explain, I loudly sang, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to golf we go."
I can think I can see where this is going.
As I started to whistle, I turned round to see if the kids were laughing. They were. All good. My wife, however, wasn't. Neither were the three dwarfs who were walking along next to us in our direction behind me.
Oh, no.
I have no idea if they spoke English, but I'm pretty sure that tune is universal in every variation of Snow White. They were suddenly looking at me in a way that made me wish the ground would swallow me up. I'm not insensitive to anyone, and I didn't mean any offence. I wasn't even really thinking of Snow White. But really, what were the chances of this being witnessed in this way? Hopefully you will agree that I can't be held accountable for my actions, and my continuing guilt means I'm not evil.
Yeah, you're not a bad person.
No, just unlucky.
Yes.
You're very unlucky.
Unlucky. If you've got a story you would be willing to share with us along those lines, then please email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
This is warm and friendly, and you like it, and that's why you're here. You were the one that pressed play after all, with your thumb.
Adrift. With Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port.
You have a lovely thumb.
All right, Annabelle.
Yes.
You have prepared a story.
Yeah.
What's it about?
Well, I'm going to go a bit seedy today. As This American Life sometimes says, if there's anything of a vaguely risque nature, this podcast acknowledges the existence of sex. If you're a family gathered around the computer on a Sunday evening to listen to this podcast, which I'm sure is how many listen to this, perhaps skip this one.
Yeah.
Or perhaps the parents can do what my friend Jane's mum used to do, which was keep a book on the arm of the sofa for when anything vaguely saucy appeared on TV, so she could pick it up and read it and not look at the TV. And it was the only time she ever read this book. It must have taken her so long to finish it.
That's great.
So families, feel free to skip. Everyone else, welcome.
Yeah.
So I'm going to start in the time before everyone had the internet, when teenage boys got their kicks from mucky magazines that they found in the woods and hid in their bedroom. My brother tells a story of coming home one day and finding our mum hoovering under his bed, very delicately around his dirty magazine, not touching it at all, which I found extraordinary that my mum was hoovering under the bed. I thought we were more of a, if you can't see it, it's clean kind of family. Maybe not. Now, my boyfriend Tom, who I've mentioned before, he's younger than me. He was lucky because he had the internet at home when he was a teenager. Although it was the kind of internet that took nearly a day to download just one image. So he speaks of the agony of it taking over an hour for a nipple to appear whilst knowing his parents would be home at any minute. So Tom is one character in this story. I'm going to introduce another now. Yeah. Don't worry, it's not me, just in case you're worrying about what kind of seedy direction this is taking. The second character is one of my oldest and best friends, Marie. Now, Marie is one of those friends where if you're talking on the phone, if we were talking on the phone and you could only hear my end of the conversation, all you'd hear is, "You did what? No, you didn't. Oh my God, no, but I thought you were doing that. So you're doing this now? No." It's like very much that kind of friend, the best kind of friend. She's had about 300 careers and they're all so vastly different. She's trained as a therapist. She's been a laser therapist. She's worked in HR and TV. She designed Wembley Stadium, kind of, because she worked as a TV props maker for a while and had to make an architect's model of a stadium for an architect's office. And she created one with a very distinctive arch over it. And then a few years later, they unveiled the new Wembley Stadium and it looked very familiar.
So which TV show was in this in the background of?
I can't remember. I think it was on Sky. It might have had David Baddiel or Johnny Vaughan in it. Someone like that. David Baddiel, I think. Yeah.
Right. And,
so,
and
know,
some
well
architect
yeah.
who'd won the commission for Wembley Stadium.
Yeah, saw that. Thought that's a good idea.
I'm having it.
You can't say it didn't happen. You can't. She also worked as a children's entertainer and quite a few years back once appeared on television as a sex expert. So it was a sex education show on Channel 5, of course. I'm sure if Channel 5 existed in the early 80s, Jane's mum would have easily finished that book of hers. And the show covered all sorts of disgusting, filthy things like acting like they're normal. And Marie was brought in to explain how to do a prostate massage. Now, if you don't know what this is, Google it and then delete your browsing history. I think prostate massage is a very nice way of putting it. It makes it sound healthy and normal and clinical and not at all deviant. how Marie ended up doing this job, but she did. I think she had like a friend who worked on the show at the time or something.
Right.
What I do remember is Marie on the show talking about and demonstrating this sexual practice. And the entire time, even though her accent is identical to mine, the entire time sounding exactly like Princess Margaret. She was so posh on it. I also remember discovering that the man that she was performing this prostate massage on was someone there on work experience.
Oh,
I
God.
Know, it's awful, isn't it? Yeah. So bad. So this is just one of the things that Maria's done, and I'd kind of forgotten about it as it was years ago. Until the day I introduced her for the first time to my boyfriend, Tom, and he's been a bit weird, like a bit flustered, not saying much, until she went to the toilet and it emerged that when he was younger, he'd had a recording of a particular episode of a Channel 5 sex show that he'd very much enjoyed. And in a time of limited options to get your kicks, he'd recorded it, put it onto a VHS that he'd labelled World Snooker Championships and watched it over and over again. And the star of his very favourite bit, one of my oldest and best friends, Marie. He was like a teenager of the 70s meeting Linda Lovelace. But for him, the prostate massage lady, he was totally starstruck. And also told, in no uncertain terms, don't you go expecting any of that funny business from me. Disgusting. Okay, family, you can come back now and gather around your computer again.
You will be reminded of this show and this feeling.
Adrift.
When you wake up. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. Adrift.
Oh, I just wanted to quickly mention something, and I know that adverts for this sometimes pop up in the podcast anyway, so I go at the risk of repeating myself. I just wanted to mention that we've got a new series of this interview show that I do for Union Jack Radio, which is on the air at the moment. It's on once every 2 weeks on a Saturday morning, and then they repeat it the following week. So in other words, there's a new episode every fortnight.
Right.
And it's called Hometown Glory. And what I do is I go and sit in a studio with a comedian or a famous person, and I get them to tell me about their hometown. And we have a big screen in there. And sometimes we look at stuff on Google Maps. Mm-hmm. So the new series is on now. And I know Phil Jupitus was the first episode. And there's people like Glenn Matlock from the Sex Pistols on there. And comedians Mark Steele, Andy Hamilton, who created Outnumbered. And I thought this might be exciting for you.
Yeah, go on.
The Governess.
From The Chase.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
No.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I don't know if that one's been on the air or not yet, but she was, so this is the second series of this. So, you know, I've done 12 of these at this point, maybe more. And she was by far the most astonishing and interesting person.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to that.
She's had a very odd childhood. I mean, bits of it are a bit bleak, but basically her dad was like a Del Boy, but with no work ethic.
He'd
constantly got ideas and scams and things, but never really did anything about them. But he invented his own moisturizer. Which I don't think he ever marketed, but there were tubs of this stuff around their house when she was a little girl.
Oh, brilliant.
So I just wanted to mention that. If you haven't heard that show yet, it's, as I say, every other Saturday. But you can get it as a podcast as well. You can find it very easily if you type in my name and Hometown Glory into wherever you get your podcasts from, then it will come up quite easily. But yeah, I've really enjoyed doing another series of that, and they're available now if you want something else to listen to. And I should mention at this juncture as well, Patreon. We appreciate your support. It's what helps us keep this podcast going. So if you don't support us on Patreon yet and you have got a bit of spare change rattling around every month, then do you think I'd make a good beggar?
I know. I think you're too awkward.
Yeah. Do you think I'd be any good at doing those scams where I pretend I've lost my car keys?
No, same again.
Need £15 to get to Macclesfield or whatever.
No, sorry.
Yeah. I'm too awkward with the begging, but I feel we spent the first 6 months of the podcast talking about how awkward this part is. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying not to do that so much. Do you remember when you were off on maternity leave? I went to Chicago and I did one of the episodes with someone off public radio over there, and I felt she really inspired me, Greta Johnson.
Yeah.
Support us on podcasts at Patreon if you don't already.
Did you see the email about the merch?
No, what email about the merch?
Someone, you mentioned an apron for merch. Someone says, I do wear an apron. So I can't remember the name, but they're in New York, I think. They do wear an apron. They were wearing an apron as we were saying it.
Is that right?
Because they put the podcast in the pocket. Like they put their phone in the pocket to listen to podcasts. Oh, the apron.
So if we did merch, we'd have to make sure that the aprons we sold have pockets for MP3 players.
It has to have pockets.
Or phones, really. Not many people are using dedicated MP3.
Yeah.
I was just seeing if I could find...
Yeah.
That email. Hang on a second. And my other email. This may take a little longer than I would have initially hoped.
it was the penultimate most recent merch. There you go. Kathleen
Collins. Kathleen. So Kathleen wears an apron. Yeah. Okay, well, this is something we could explore.
Yes, yeah, so I'm more open to the idea of an apron because I do remember poo-pooing it before. Yeah.
What about oven gloves?
I poo-poo that, sorry. Yeah.
Anyway, for the time being, since you can't get your hands on the merch yet because it doesn't exist. But, these things take a while to percolate, don't they?
Actually, maybe oven gloves is a good idea. I feel like I dismissed that too quickly.
Thank you.
Yes, I'm so sorry. I'm going to take it back.
That was like my whole life in microcosm. People dismissed me very quickly, but actually it turned out I was right all along.
You were, yeah.
We will look into this. Can we talk to? We'll talk to someone. Maybe Kim Rainey will help us out. He did the artwork for the podcast. Yeah. Anyway, for the time being, if you would support us on Patreon, it's incredibly kind of you if you do that, and we've got some rewards coming up over the next few weeks.
Yep.
The Partners Podcast is looking like it might be happening again more recently than let's not count our chickens. But we've also got the Adrift Diet plan in the works.
Oh, that's in the works, is it?
Well, we talked about it last week or the week before, or whenever it was.
Okay, so it's in the works. Okay.
Yeah, that qualifies it being in the works, doesn't it?
I totally agree.
It's not in the works.
No, you're right. It's in the works.
Anyway, support us, patreon.com/adrift.
There are some things that move down the stream. Some of them are called Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port. It's coming past you, and on the sail is written GLAP, which stands for GLAP, Adrift.
So I live in a terraced house. It's where we record the podcast, and meaning I've got neighbours on either side. Mm-hmm. I've got a very, very small postage stamp sized garden out the back, and we've been out there quite a lot this summer, or at least we've had the kitchen doors open to let the air in and so on. My neighbours to the right, the Dearies, they're out in their back garden the whole time. They recently got a puppy.
Oh, lovely.
It's called Lily Cupcake Sprinkles.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Anything for sure?
Lily.
Yeah. Just checking.
Yeah. And also Chris, the dad of the family, is like an expert griller. So not gorilla.
Oh, griller. You mean a barbecuer?
Yeah, he's out on the BBQ the whole time. Right. So, they live a very outdoorsy life.
Okay.
In the summer. They really make use of their garden. So I will often hear what they're talking about over the hedge. Can't see them, but I can hear them. And there've been a couple of times recently where something's happened. Like I can, hear them talking, saying something like, "I don't know what time does the punch? What time does the pub do lunch till?" And I will helpfully shout across, "Oh, Chris, it's Jeff. It's 3 o'clock. They do food till 3:00."
Right.
Or I'll hear them talking about maybe having watched an episode of Queer Eye, and then the next time I see them as we're coming out the front door, I'll say, "Oh, I heard you were talking about Queer Eye."
Right.
Sarah loses her mind when I do this because she says what I am doing is breaking the social contract of the garden fence. So if you've got a fence or a hedge, that might as well be soundproof. It might as well be the Great Wall of China. What goes on the other side of the hedge or the fence is not your business.
Right, yeah.
Whereas I feel like I'm just being helpful and neighbourly.
Yeah, true, yeah.
Mm. Who's right, who's wrong? I find out in this week's The Incident. I decided to seek advice from my old radio partner, Pete Mitchell, formerly of Pete and Jeff. To be honest, it kind of starts off on topic and then meanders off elsewhere, much like we used to do on the radio.
Well, it's a tricky one. Are you eavesdropping on their conversation, would you say?
I'm not deliberate. I'm not going out of my way to eavesdrop, but, they've got booming voices. You know what it's like. You've got a booming voice. Like, your neighbours will know all your business.
But I'm not too sure about that, because I think I live a sedentary life. Is that the right word? I think it is. But we have new neighbours, and from the relative quiet of the last 10 years or so, this is next door but one. He moved out, and a family of four came in with a new baby, and I've never heard anything like it.
The baby is crying a lot.
The baby is crying, which you understand. You have a small one, Gene. They're uncomfortable. Yeah. I get that. But then the other, with this weather as well, we're all out in the gardens. There's a lot of noise. And it was my wife Helen's first day off in quite a while. And I swear, from 8:15 in the morning till when I blew my top, which was about 5:15, an angle grinder.
So hang on. Day. So the baby wasn't playing with the angle grinder all day?
No, I think it was the grandparents, or it was a builder.
What angles were they grinding all day?
About 47 degrees.
I mean, what are they doing all day with an angle grinder?
I don't know. Well, I seem to remember having a conversation with you some time ago about noise in general. And I don't know if I was talking about my flat or your flat. I can't remember when we lodged together a little bit, and I think somebody was hammering, and you said to me, how can somebody hammer for so long? And it's quite an interesting point, isn't it? How long can you hammer for? 4, 5, 6 hours? And angle grinding, intermittently, to be fair, from, what's that, about 8 hours? And I blew my top about 5:15. I went, whoa, stop! Just stop now.
But this is next door but one, so you're shouting over the next door to get to the next door but one.
Next door but one.
Yeah.
And Helen was going nuts. It was hot weather. I'd probably had a drink by that stage. I can't quite remember. And I just said, whoa, 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 stop this now. You are sending me crazy. And a voice of an old man shouted back, I'm sorry, sir. I do apologise about the noise. I said, you're not really allowed to make that sort of noise at the weekend after 1 p.m. Do you know that ruling? Anyway, to cut a long story short, I said, stop this now. It's sending me nuts. We want some peace and quiet. You've been doing this since 8:15. You should have finished at 1. And he went, I just got 2 more cuts to do, sir, and then I'll finish. And he carried on for another hour. So he just didn't take any notice.
Well, those are big cuts.
Well, how can you cut how 2 cuts? And that's 30 minutes per cut.
That is a long cut.
What on earth is? What do you cut in that? I don't know. What would it be? Floorboards?
I don't know. Was he trying to get down to the Earth's core? What was going on?
Probably.
But here's what concerns me about it. You've now made an enemy.
I was saying to Helena, my wife, of course, to people who don't know my status. married quite happily for a long time.
Yeah.
I think it's 10 years this November.
It is 10 years, yeah. You've really, really made a go of it this time round.
Thanks very much. Yeah. Thanks very much. Yeah. I'm in it for the long haul.
I know. This is it. Till death you do part.
You need to walk before you run.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Right.
Where were we up to? I can't quite remember.
Saying you've made an enemy for life. I'm worried now.
Yeah, well, I will never, ever speak to them, I don't think, which is, they could be there for 10, 15 years. I might move, but, we'll probably never speak to them now. The weirdest one my immediate neighbours, I can't give you too much information, but one of them is an American psychologist.
Yes, yes.
And the other is works in print.
Okay.
And there was one night when our outside, the security light flashes on.
I do, yes.
And lurking in the shadows, this is not next door but one, but next door, in a wheelbarrow with his son was a dead fox.
What?
And they had a dead fox in the wheelbarrow.
And now, they brought really, it into your front garden?
This is what? No, it was down in their garden. So I've never asked what happened, but they buried it under a big stone at the bottom of their garden.
Now, so do you think in some kind of father-son ritual they've been out and slaughtered a fox in the dead of night?
No, it wasn't did I say a fox then?
Yeah, you meant a person.
It was a badger.
Oh, that's even worse.
She's protected. Yeah, it wasn't her. Yeah. Worse to poor Mr. Fox. Fantastic Mr. Fox. Nobody to talk to. Nobody cares about his ragged old skin and his chunks of fur. But it was a badger, which is a terrible thing anyway. But maybe he was involved in the slaying of this protected animal.
Satanists.
So, Satanists. But anyway, I've never forgotten it. We've never actually,
So the longer it goes, the weirder it is to bring it up, though.
Well, I wouldn't dream of it now because he thinks he got away with it. But I made sure because they had the hoods up and everything like they were Victorian...
grave robbers. Yeah.
Grave robbers, yeah. And it was quite weird. I think he may have run over it.
Right.
Which, yeah, they do dart over the road, don't they? They don't have much road sense. Badgers, do they?
They don't. Well, maybe here's the thing you could do. You could exhume the badger and do, like a serial or Making a Murderer and try and get to the bottom of what really went on as a podcast.
Wow, that sort of face going like that.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you know where you're going, it doesn't matter if the location is going in that same direction because you're already making the move. Jeff Lloyd and Annabelle Port are adrift.
Worst thing about being a parent?
Sleepless nights.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. Like, I sometimes say the best thing about it is I have an excuse to not go out. So anytime anybody invites me to anything, I'll use having to be on childcare duty as an excuse.
Yeah, it's handy.
But actually, I feel that it's really crippling me at the moment because I really want to go out and I can't.
What? Why?
Because Mamma Mia 2 is out of the pictures and I don't know when I'm going to see it.
No, I'm the same.
I'm going to have to wait for it to come on video.
Oh, that's going to be ages away.
I know, and I really want to see it in the cinema, and I really want to see it in a full cinema where everyone's giddy.
Yeah.
And it will have been out weeks, best case scenario, and I'm so upset because I'm so desperate to see Mamma Mia 2. Here we go again.
Oh.
What a title, really.
It's a great title.
Yeah. I know some people listen to this will think Mamma Mia is just terrible, but you're wrong.
It's brilliant.
You're wrong. It's brilliant. I've seen the stage production of Mamma Mia, I think, 3 times.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. That's a lot.
I sometimes wait at stage door for the cast to come out.
Have you got the T-shirt?
No. So I think one time I went to see it when I'd never seen it before because it was just exciting to get to go and see Mamma Mia. This was before the film. Then one time my mum was visiting.
Right.
And I thought I'd like to take her to a West End show. So I thought, why not Mamma Mia?
Okay.
And then the most recent time was Sarah and I were going through this. I mean, basically something terrible had happened while we were doing IVF and we were going through this miserable time. And I thought, well, what can I do that will just be unbridled joy? And you want some unbridled joy? Mamma Mia is the thing.
It gives you it.
So we got cheap theatre tickets to go and see Mamma Mia on a Friday night in London's The West End. And I think there were a couple of factors at play. Like one is when a show's been open for 15 years or whatever it is, it's not quite the same kind of engaged audience as you might expect.
There's earlier people in its have run. Seen it a few times.
Or people have just got like deals.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I think also in that 15 years, behaviour in theatres has gone rapidly downhill.
Oh.
I remember going to see Billy Elliot and I saw somebody go from giving a standing ovation to the performers on stage after a song and dance number, to looking at Facebook in their phone within 20 seconds.
Whoa.
Like, people just don't know how to behave. You think a cinema's bad. Some of those West End shows, I mean, it's 10 times worse. So anyway, I'm going to this thing just thinking, oh, this will be fun. I've seen it before. I like the songs. It might not be the greatest theatrical experience of my life, but we've had a wretched time of it. This will be a fun thing to do. So we sit down and the overture starts, and there's people talking behind us. But I think, oh, they're gonna settle down when it starts. So it starts, and they're really talking quite a lot and laughing. And, you know, the main character in it is called Donna, the one played by Meryl Streep in the film.
Oh, yeah.
Like somebody shouts out, Donna, when she comes on stage.
Okay.
And I'm getting more and more sort of irate in my seat as this is happening. Now, I've said before that in a cinema, it's the one environment where I'm very assertive. I will happily turn around and shush somebody quite aggressively.
Yeah.
Theatre's slightly different because you've got the performers on the stage and whatever. But I'm just getting more and more angry, and I'm like nudging Sarah, and she's going, "Just leave it, just leave it." And I just get so irate that I eventually, but my head's about to explode. So I make my angry face. I go to turn around and go shh. So I start to raise my finger to my lips. As I turn round, I see who's making all this noise, and it's a coach load of adults with learning difficulties.
Oh, God.
So I very quickly managed to transform my finger into a thumbs up and give them a big smile.
Oh, no.
Which is perhaps the most condescending thing I've ever done in my life. Anyway, Mamma Mia 2. I don't know if they will be doing a theatrical production of it, but as long as it's at the cinema, I'll be very happy shushing people who get too rowdy during it, if and when I get to see it.
Form an orderly bubble and off we go. Adrift.
All right, on to Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic. It's the Rules School and the Knowledge College.
Okay, I have a query for the GLAP Clinic. Please keep this anonymous in case of the vague possibility of someone my wife knows listening. I think we're assuming his wife doesn't listen. So my daughters are both keen swimmers and are competing in the county finals of the school swimming gala. I am unfortunately unable to attend due to work commitments. My wife is taking them instead. Two things about my wife. She is not good at replying to text messages or answering her mobile. And also she gets highly offended if I ask someone else something that she thinks is her domain. My query is this. I want to know what is happening and how they're getting on in the gala. So how long after I've texted my wife to ask, is it acceptable to send a message to one of the other dads who I get on well with and chat with at the early morning, 5 a.m, pool sessions? I mean, this is a marital problem really, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or I suppose it's about text messaging and how soon do you... I have noticed my mum, so I was with my mum at the weekend, and I noticed that she, and maybe other people of her age, they treat a text message like a phone call, in that the moment they get it, it is looked at and answered. Like, it's quite often I hear a text message, I won't immediately go
right.
to it.
Right,
she was walking with the pram, and it was the situation where the baby was just gone to sleep, so you need to keep the pram moving. But she got a text message, and she stopped because, like, oh, I've got to want... It's like a phone call to them.
Right, yeah. I'll tell you who the worst with it is Lynn Barron.
Oh, really?
I mean, if you think about what the stereotype of, like, a teenager with a mobile phone is...
Right.
Like, Lynn Barron is that exact thing.
Really?
Like, her head is in it all the time. You'll be out walking along, she'll be 10 meters behind because she's got a head and a phone texting. She's got two phones for some reason.
What? Bigamist. Two phones? Or maybe one's like a Europe phone and an
American
phone.
One is her professional phone and one is her actual. Which I don't buy that. I think you can probably set your phone up in such a way that if you wanted to switch it to personal mode, your professional calls would just go straight to voicemail. Mm. Only allow, but anyway. Mm. So, you know, between juggling two, I feel I'm getting sidetracked here.
Right. It's a parents and texting.
Millennial mother-in-law.
Yeah.
So the question basically is
how soon after having texted, knowing full well she's not going to reply, is it okay to ask someone who will reply?
I just think about this. I'm trying to think if it was me. So if it was me receiving the text and then she texted somebody else, it wouldn't bother me. See, it's all about empathy. This feature is all about empathy. Mm. And I'm having a little difficulty empathising with his wife at this point.
To the extent that I don't think I'd even text the wife. I'd just go straight to one of the other dads. I wouldn't waste my time.
Use it. I mean, if I were you, what I would do, I would use this to ignite a row about any other problems you've got in your marriage at the moment.
What does that solve? Just to get it all off your chest.
Well, so she's clearly at fault here.
Yeah, I mean, especially in a situation where, you know, he wants to know.
Yeah. So either reply to your text messages or don't have a problem with him asking somebody else. Mm-mm. Like, you've just got to pick one of those two things.
If I were to take her side, like, you know, this is a swimming girl, like, things are happening quickly. Like, should she be constantly having to check her phone?
No, but she shouldn't then be bothered.
Yeah, if he asks somebody else. Yeah.
And can you remind me, why isn't he going to the swimming gala himself?
Work commitments.
Okay. I mean, pull a sickie might be.
Yeah.
Might be an option.
Yeah.
Think about your work-life balance. Yeah. Missing out on this swimming gala.
Yeah.
Just to go and work for the man.
Yeah.
For a dollar.
Making a lot of assumptions here, but yes, I agree. Pull a sickie and risk losing your job. Okay, let's move on to the next one. This is from Chris. I'd like to share a problem to be addressed in Quandary Corner in Problematic at the GLAP Clinic, the Royal School of Knowledge College. You know the feature. Now, actually, this is something that we have touched on, but before Knowledge College, GLAP Clinic. And so I don't feel that we ever really got the proper answer.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, I went to visit a friend and stay over for the weekend. We've known each other a long time, but as we live in different cities, we don't see each other too often. My friend and his fiancé moved into a new house last August, but this was to be my first time seeing them in their house. I wasn't sure if I should take a housewarming gift or if the moment had passed. However, after almost a year living there, I guess they already had what they needed. So I decided not to take a gift, but keep on the lookout for anything they may need so I could make an online order and get something delivered to them on my return. As it happens, their house was beautiful and needed nothing, but they live quite near some sand dunes which you can go sledging on. My friend took me sledging there, but their sledge just wasn't up to the job. It was an odd shape, it kept getting stuck in the sand, and while little Clids were flying down the dunes having a blast, theirs wasn't working. The perfect gift was suddenly obvious. So when I came back, I decided to order them a pair of sledges from Amazon as a gift. I texted my friend asking for his address, then ordered, and I told him to look out for something in the post. Now, Amazon claims they should have been delivered over a week ago, but I've received no acknowledgement from my friend. There's no tracking information, so I don't know for sure if they got the gift. It's possible, for example, that someone took the package or that there was some problem with the supplier that I'd have to chase up. However, I don't want to text my friend in case he has already got it and it just looks like I'm fishing for a thank you. How should I proceed?
Okay, so, but only a week.
It's been a week.
So sometimes I'll get one of those little red cards through from the postman and you've got to go to the local post office to pick it up, which can be like a 20-minute walk away or something.
Yeah.
And I can wait more than a week. I think 2 weeks is the cutoff.
Okay. So you're saying give it 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I mean, there's a slight possibility that the friends might have felt that you were dissing their sledge. We're a bit annoyed about you buying them a better one.
I mean, I think this is a very thoughtful and generous gift. I just want to say that straight away.
That sounds like a nice friend.
Yeah, I think you know, I really respect what you've done there. So I'm going to say 2 weeks is the cutoff point.
Okay.
And then what happens at 2 weeks? So I had a situation recently where I sent somebody a selection of nuts and I never heard back from them.
Do I need to know any more information, or would that just not interesting?
So
I'm intrigued, that's all.
I was working with somebody.
Yeah.
And we got to talking about chocolates or whatever, treats. And she said, I haven't really got a sweet tooth, but you know what I love is, you know, settling in with an evening with some really good nuts. So after we'd finished working together,
yeah.
I sent her a little note saying how much I'd enjoyed it and sent some mixed nuts. But then I became paranoid that she thought that she'd forgotten the conversation about the nuts. Mm. And I was implying that she was, in fact, nuts.
Oh, God, the thoughts that go through your head. I mean, there is zero likeness of that. But the paranoia that leads to that thought, I do understand.
Yeah. So I wrote her an email about something unconnected. Like, I contrived some reason to write her an email. And then put, oh, P.S., I'm not fishing for a thank you, but did you receive a little something from me in the post? I always worry that these things will get lost And then, of course, she writes me an email back and she's a bit embarrassed. Oh, I meant to thank you, but I went away on holiday. And so you do put somebody in an awkward position, but at least then you know.
Mm-hmm. It's very difficult. I think, really, we all just have to thank people straight away and pick our packages up very, very promptly.
Yeah.
To save this happening.
But what would you do in this situation?
I think you're probably right. I would definitely give it another... I think 1 week isn't long enough,
yeah.
Just in case they... Well, there's like... You usually leave it at the neighbour now, don't they? I know that I'm the local post office on my street, so a lot of experience of this. But and then maybe the neighbour has not been, hasn't brought it around. I don't know. But yeah, 2 weeks, definitely.
I told you before, we had a very expensive toaster go missing.
I know, on the street.
Somebody had it, yeah.
So it does happen.
Yeah. Probably the same people who reported us to the council for the pitch of our roof.
Probably.
Being too high. Yeah.
Maybe go, make the journey again, not to see your friends, but to go to these local sand dunes to see if someone else has got their sledges. That'd be a way of dealing with it. But yeah, give it 2 weeks and then, call or text or email saying, I'm not fishing for a thank you. Oh, yeah. I'm not fishing for a thank you, but I just want to check you got them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening. And if you are a rate and review kind of person, why not do your thing and rate and review us with a good rating and an excellent review on iTunes, please. And of course, we are incredibly grateful for the support on Patreon. If you don't support us on Patreon already, it really helps us keep the podcast going. And if you become a new supporter, we may well name our secondborns after you. I say may well, it's very much a non-binding promise. But anyway, support the podcast, please, at patreon.com/adrift. Thanks to Man and the Echo for the backing music and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music during the incident. And thanks to my old pal, Piccolo Pete Mitchell, for the advice. You can find Pete in lots of places, including Twitter, on which I think he's at Pete Mitchell DJ. But you can also find him on the new Virgin Radio, and he's got an online show called Finders Keepers, which is excellent. So go off and support Pete's endeavours. Vince Lynch and Simon Wilcox are our announcers and made our idents. Patrick Gunning and Iwana Babu provided technical support. Kim Rainey made our artwork and Carla Gowler took the photos. We would love it if you shared your story of social failure with us and your fellow drifters. hello@adriftpodcast.com is the email address, and it's the same email address if you have a social situation for which you need to know the rule or rules. In Quandary Corner at the GLAP Clinic in Problematic, the Rule School and Knowledge College and all that. Email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. And finally, thanks to Annabelle's friend, Marie, for creating such a memorable TV moment, at least for Annabelle's lover, Tom.
Adrift.
Adrift.
Okay, podcation time. This comes from Stephen Whitehead, who says, good morning, evening, afternoon, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hello.
Good morning, as it turns out. Mm. It's where we are now is 7 minutes to midday.
Still morning.
Yep. After almost 30 episodes of Adrift, I thought it was about time to get my podcation into the show. Having requested two podcations on your previous radio show and only getting one of them actually aired... Just did a little cold, hard stare at Annabelle.
Yeah, I took it in.
I hope this will be a little more successful. Mm. I'm not sure whether my last one was just too boring or it missed the bulldog clip. Alas, both are probably as likely as each other.
I should say that I'll be totally honest with you now that he had to chase this one up as well because it was sent some time ago. And I thought we'd done it, but we hadn't. And apparently there was some discussion on the Facebook discussion group, about whether he should chase it up or not. So, yeah. But, I've got this new system and it's just, it's just like just adjusting at the moment.
Right. Yeah. Previously in my life, I requested podications for the people in my life, but no, not today. I would like this podication for myself. Mm. Everyone deserves a chance in life for self-praise. Over the past year, I've been through many difficult endeavours, but thanks to my love of podcasts, I've been able to ignore most of them. I know you do not like praise, but Adrift always had a proud place on my Wednesday listening schedule, and I hope to never miss an episode. Thank you.
Very nice.
Because, I mean, it sounds like a competitive schedule as well. You sound like you know your stuff when it comes to podcasts, and people have to jostle to get onto that schedule, and there we are.
On a Wednesday.
Hopefully a permanent fixture, despite Annabelle's system. I look forward to more of the other Drifters' social ineptitude, and maybe one day I will reveal some of my own awkward stomach-churning stories. Yes, please do that. As a final point, I'd like to wonder, could I be one of your youngest active listeners? Do I pull down the average listening age of this podcast? I'm currently 23 years old. I wonder. Yes, so I think there are some young listeners who don't have that much choice in it because their parents have it on.
Mm-mm.
But I think in terms of choosing to listen, I mean, I understand why you do, really, because if I was a hip 23-year-old, me and Annabelle is exactly what I want to hear. I mean, I'd really closely relate to that. I bet you do. Thank you. I mean, I just want to thank you. From the bottom of my heart. I wonder. Anyway, I wonder what our oldest listener is.
Oh, that's a good question, yeah. If you feel that you are, let us know.
You know, I know my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law listen to it, but I think it's just sort of out of politeness.
I think my parents dropped off. They were, but they dropped off.
Yeah, my mum listened for a bit and then dropped off. But, anyway, I digress. All the best and cheerio, Stephen. Once and always fabulous listener in Loughborough. If Annabelle ever visits again, I would love to say hi. Oh. Also, Loughborough would be great for a live show. The town hall has a small-ish capacity.
Yeah.
When were you there?
I went to visit a friend in January.
I was at the Latitude Festival recently, which isn't too far from there. Well, Stephen, thank you. And apologies for the slight mix-up with your podications.
The slight mix-up. Sorry.
but thank you.
It was only March that he sent it in. I mean, what are we now? Come on, give me a break.
All right, another podication. This comes from Jamie Davis, who says, hi, Jeff and Annabelle.
Hi.
Please could I get a podication for my wife, Fiona, for as near to the 27th of July as possible?
We did our best.
The 27th will see us celebrate 6 years of marriage, and this year is extra special as it's our first anniversary since our son Alfie was born back in September.
Alfie,
so very similar age to Rudy.
Fiona
is an incredible wife who always supports and encourages me in everything I do. She's got such a kind heart, is incredibly funny, and truly is my partner in crime. Should we be advocating that? She truly is your partner in crime.
Yeah. What crimes are these being committed?
It was a whirlwind of emotions when Alfie was born, as we nearly lost Fiona.
Oh, dear.
I'm sorry to hear that. But I mean, I know it's got a happy ending, so I am managing to stay in control of my emotions so far. But 10 months on, she has fought back to full health and is the most brilliant mother Alfie could ever ask for. She never asks for anything. She sounds amazing.
Wow, who doesn't ask for anything?
And always puts others' needs before her own. Yeah. So I think this podcation, as well as a lovely dinner and night away from mummy duties, will go a small way to show her just what she means to me and our son. I introduced her to this podcast and she is now fellow Drifter.
Whoa, she's the greatest.
Yeah, she is the greatest, I think. Thank you very much. Keep up the work. I've still got those amazing scissors. Kind regards, Jamie Davis. So there we go. Fiona. Congratulations on 6 years of marriage to Jamie. He's lucky to have you by the sound of it.
Yeah.
And I hope you have a wonderful time doing whatever you decide to do with these 3 hours.
Yep.
So there we go. That's another podcation. And if you would like an episode of this podcast dedicated to you, then you can email us hello@adriftpodcast.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.